The Kilcoin Conversation loves nostalgia, talking about people's careers, things that have taken place, significant moments, whether it's a Super Bowl, a World Series, you name it. It's fun to sort of walk down memory lane, what people were thinking at the time. But this particular visit is topical. It's about the Blues and the Avalanche. I think the town is once again revved up for Blues hockey. You know, took over the entire city 3 years ago. I always take my mom as a certain barometer, who is a big Cardinal fan, became a big Blues fan, and now starts making comments to me like, how come Bennington's not playing? You know, and this is when Ville Husso was top five in save percentage and goals allowed. And I'm like, Mom, well, the other guy's playing better. But she became passionate about the team, and I think along the way people connect with the players, whether it's Ryan O'Reilly or Braden Schenn, Tarasenko and Parayko, and, you know, I think it's 10-plus players that are still here from the cup run of 3 years ago. So it's that time of year. The town sort of turns its attention to Blues hockey. I can recall, and, you know, there is this overlap when the Cardinals are playing early in their season and then the Blues are in the playoffs. And Tony La Russa would cut these clips for Fox Midwest and say, yes, we're a big game for us. You know, Pirates in town in April, but, yeah, the Blues game's even bigger. I'm like, wow. Wow, Tony actually said it. The hockey game is bigger. Yeah, it's the playoffs. So with that in mind, we're talking it over with Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic, who has covered the Blues. I got to say it's about 20 years now, Post-Dispatch for probably 10 to 15. Switched to The Athletic within the last 4 or 5 years and has become pretty synonymous in terms of media and Blues hockey. I would think, you know, day in, day out, Luke Korak from NHL.com has been there a long time. Jim Thomas has been on the beat for a while, but I think Jeremy Rutherford at this point, maybe the longest tenured media type who is there on a regular basis, day in and day out. And JR breaks it down with us. We talk about Nathan MacKinnon. How do you stop Makar when you've got a defenseman who can score 30 goals a season? But also the idea of pressure. Even though the Avs are favored, this is a franchise that has not advanced beyond the second round in 20 years. As glorified as Colorado's franchise is right now, and great players, great stats, you know, they really haven't done anything. So maybe they're feeling a little pressure. Maybe the Blues are a little bit like house money at this point. So we'll break down the entire series. Jeremy Rutherford, the guest, the Kilcoin Conversation, presented, as always, by B&G Tuckpointing, the best in the bricks. I've told you, Rich Galati, the owner, loves Blues hockey. He went to the Winter Classic. He went to the All-Star Game. And he texted me today and said, Blues in five. So that's the kind of optimism we're looking for. And why not? Bennington's playing well. You know, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Who knows? I feel like it's a seven-game series. But B&G Tuckpointing loves Blues hockey, and they love making your home or chimney, garage, anything brick, making it look new again. That's what they specialize in. They are the best in the bricks for a reason. Get a free estimate at 363-0525. 363-0525. And check out some of the photos. I did that today. I went to B&G Tuckpointing. com and see some of the buildings that they've been working on. A lot of commercial work in addition to residential, foundation repair, waterproofing. They do all of that. Check them out. Call them up. I guarantee Rich will talk a little hockey with you. It's 363-0525, bgtuckpointing.com. Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Weidman Road, and I went to their website. I did this all today. I decided to start checking it out, so I haven't been online in a little while, and MarieDavila.com for the virtual tour, or get online and schedule a tour. Your parents, yourselves, aunts, uncles, maybe it's for down the road. Check them out with a virtual tour or in person. Assisted living, Villa Estates, beautiful campus in West County. It is worth checking out. MarieDavila.com. Triad Bank, and yes, I went to the website and it says the second location is now open. How about that? On Olive Road, just west of 270, there's a reason they're opening up that new location because it's been going well since 2005. That's when they started the bank, St. Louis-based, and I think business owners have figured out if they're looking to expand their business, they might as well be doing it with folks who know the current climate, the local landscape. That's what Triad Bank is all about neighborhood-friendly banks. So if you're looking for the home loan, car loan, business loan, stop by and see them right there in Frontenac on Clayton Road or their website at triadbanking.com. And Appliance Discounters, four different locations. They're in St. Charles, Baldwin, South County, Maplewood. That's the Art of Design, Art of Appliance, where they have some really unique-looking appliances. So there's a little something for everyone. Any brand name you're looking for, I guarantee they have it. The biggest names, the best prices. That's what Appliance Discounters is all about. They've been that way since day one. I love those GE rebates that are still available. Type in General Electric into the search engine. Washer, dryer, stove, entire kitchen, whatever you need, they'll get it to you quickly. And this is pretty much their slogan from day one. Their savings are your savings. It is Appliance Discounters, real simple. Website, theappliancediscounters.com. And now all about Blues hockey with Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic. Well, this is a fun time of year. This is, for JR, this is the busy time of year, and I'm wondering, like, does your wife get mad when the Blues win? Like, you're going? What? You're supposed to cut the lawn. Like, your life gets disrupted in a good way.
Yeah, Marty, if she's doing that, she's faking her disappointment because okay. She can't wait. She would book my flights if she could and extend them for a week or two. So, no, she gets the drill. It's been 20 years, and this time of year, you're just gone a lot. And so I'll jump on a plane at 6 a.m. on Tuesday. I get to Denver and head to the morning skate, and then you have the game at 8:30 p.m. Central, and then probably won't get done writing till about 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So this will be about a 24-hour shift tomorrow.
And this matchup, I know it's almighty Colorado, but I was looking at it's a lot closer, right? I mean, Colorado scored 312 goals. The Blues scored 311. Is that a little bit of a misnomer out there?
Yeah, the numbers across the board are fairly similar in terms of goals for, goals against. You know, you can even look at the Blues' depth with the 920 goal scorers, Marty, and they probably even have more of it than Colorado. But Colorado's got the star power, obviously, with McKinnon and Cal Makar and those guys. You know, I think it's closer than some people think. Like, if you look at some of the national experts, everybody's picking Colorado. And even by a wide margin, I think it's 85% a chance to win the series at the Athletic with the Dom's thing.
But, those hacks, the athletic.
Right. But I think it's a situation where people are underestimating the Blues a little bit, but probably they shouldn't be after what the Blues showed against Minnesota. You know, I thought that was just a great series all around for them in terms of special teams. They got guys to score in clutch situations like Tarasenko. And the goaltending, even though they use both guys, I think they both played well, right? And so they have that to their advantage. But most importantly, Marty, that defense, all seven guys, they're playing this 11-7 now, stepped up and did a great job against the Minnesota Wild. It's going to be a tougher task, though, against this Colorado bunch.
Am I overstating it? We'll get back to the matchup, but what Binnington was able to do to kind of get the mojo back, and I know his teammates all said, he never lost it. I'm like, okay, well, when you lose nine straight playoff games, that's tough to overlook. How big was that even for the franchise? Because this is the guy you're invested in. Husso's going to be a free agent. For the Doug Armstrongs and Berubis of the world, don't you think that was a massive development?
It's huge. It really is. And it's not to say that Jordan Binnington's going to run with this and we won't see Ville Husso again in this series, but I'll say this. There's 5 years left on that contract with Jordan Binnington. That could not have played out any better in that first-round series. You had to go with Ville Husso. He was the guy who was most consistent throughout the year and probably gave you the best chance to win early on in the series. But then Binnington gets his chance, and he plays really well. And a lot of people were talking about his puck play. That was a huge difference in that series against Minnesota. But now he's won three straight. He had a 943 save percentage in that first round. If he can take this and run with it, then you're not looking at this huge issue when you get back to training camp in September with, well, this guy's got 5 years, but you turn to the other guy. You know, if Jordan Binnington stays in the net throughout the rest of this postseason, I think that'll be a positive vibe for him, and the organization won't be looking at that 5 years left on his deal as such an albatross.
How about with Craig Berube, who we know is the tough guy who could beat up everybody in the room, and sometimes I'm afraid to ask a certain question, but I think his hockey acumen, and now we've talked about it more in the last few years, but he does seem to push the right buttons at the right time.
He really does, and it's amazing. And it's not just this season. This goes back to the Stanley Cup year. Obviously, you're pushing a lot of right buttons, right, when you take the team to the Stanley Cup after that start they had in 2018-19. But, Marty, whether it's moving up Braden Schenn to another line and on the left wing, whether it's putting a defensive pair together, whether it's putting Jordan Binnington in for game 4 in that series. Look, I think that Minnesota could have won that series, but I think, part part of the reason they didn't was that Dean Evason waited too long to put Cam Talbot in, you know, when Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, had a hiccup or two. And so I think that's a situation where Craig Berube pressed the right button. He's done it a lot of times. Sometimes it's in-game adjustments. And look, a lot of people look at Craig Berube as this fighter. What do you have, 300-plus fights, and he's seventh all-time in penalty minutes. But when it comes to strategy and making adjustments throughout a series and in-game, as I mentioned, he's, I think, one of the best in the league.
Do you think there was internal pressure to win a playoff series? I mean, as great as the Cup was, the last 2 years were pretty ugly in terms of exits. Do you think they kind of little sigh of relief? Hey, we got one under our belt again?
100%. And you look at it this way. So they've lost, even though it was the bubble and they didn't play well and people kind of gave them mulligan that first year. I mean, this would have been three first-round exits in a row, and you just signed Craig Berube to a three-year extension. So how many people would we have heard, you know, coming out of the woodwork had they lost to Minnesota saying, are you sure this is the guy you want to move forward with when he just lost, you know, in the first round three straight years? So, you know, I think that was a big one, and especially because even though it was just a slight advantage, a lot of people picked Minnesota to win that series. And I think, you know, what Craig Berube has done so well with this team, what we just talked about, the adjustments, but also getting this team ready to play. I felt like he really did that in this last series. You know, I think that it's great for the organization. And now look at it, Marty. You go into this Colorado series, not a lot of people are expecting you to win. I think if they put up a tough fight, a lot of people will be impressed with the Blues. But that's not how Craig Berube and this team is looking at it. Look, if they can knock off Colorado and get to the next round, beating the Stanley Cup favorites, then I think that'll be even, you know, more ammunition for him and this organization.
How about this ambient noise I'm creating? But JR and I are standing here, and if I open the door... There it is, folks. A live listen-in to practice. I've got the door cracked just so we can get a little flavor there. All right, we talk about pressure and not advancing. I didn't realize this until I looked it up. Colorado hasn't gotten beyond the first round. They've only made it to the second round. They haven't gotten past the second round since 2002. Yeah. Shouldn't they be feeling a little bit of pressure?
A lot of pressure. And I think that's one thing that's going to be in the Blues' advantage going into the series is all that pressure on Colorado. It's cliche, I get it, but there really is. I mean, you'll be able to feel it a game or two into the series with what's going on in Colorado. Look, writers like myself, you know, yourself being in sports broadcasting, we're asked a lot to make our predictions, and people have been predicting the Colorado Avalanche to win this thing for a couple years in a row now. And I think it's almost that situation where you get knocked out in the second round 3 years in a row, as they have. You're like, okay, well, maybe this team doesn't have it. You know, even though they've got a loaded roster, maybe things just aren't working out for them, you know, once it gets to playoffs. So the Blues do have that experience, and I think that's another advantage they have going into this. It's not the Stanley Cup team from 2019, but there still are 10 guys.
A lot of guys, right?
10 guys or so on that roster. I think when you go into the series, you know, you can talk about all the talent that that Colorado has, but the fact that they have the spotlight on them, I think, is going to be to the Blues' benefit.
Let's start with Nathan MacKinnon then. And it's been said, if you can get him rattled a little bit, that he can get rattled. I mean, do you think that's part of the game plan here?
Yeah, I suppose. But you know what I'm trying to do going into this series, because we've already heard a lot of, MacKinnon doesn't do this, or, you know, sometimes you got to force McCarr to do that. You know, there's already – these are superstar players, and they're going to make their plays. So, yeah, we can look at it from a – you know, they could be rusty, Colorado. They've got a lot of pressure on them. You know, maybe MacKinnon does this. But the bottom line is these are terrific players. I mean, look at that last series against Minnesota. Kaprizov had 7 goals, and we're talking about how the Blues kind of limited him and quieted him a little bit. And so they're going to get theirs, is my point, the MacKinnons and the McCars. But I think it's a situation where, you know, you have to limit the other guys. And the Blues did a tremendous job of that in the last round. Against Minnesota, that second round didn't do it, or that second line didn't do anything for the Wild. So you do have to play them tight. The Blues probably are going to take a few penalties trying to play them tight and limit their space. But, you know, if at the end of this second round, if MacKinnon's got 6 or 7 goals, then we're probably talking about a Blues exit.
And McCarr is a special talent. You don't see defensemen scoring nearly 30 goals. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. How do you counterbalance that?
Yeah, you know what's interesting, because Craig Berube asked about him a couple days ago, and the words that he used about Cal McCarr is, he said, it's not normal. It's not normal to have to game plan for a defenseman who can score like a forward, and that's what he does. I personally voted for McCarr for the Norris. You know, Roman Yossi's terrific in Nashville, but I just think that McCarr does everything, and he does it at an elite level. You know, I know Blues fans aren't going to like to hear this, but it's it's going to be fun to watch him in this series. And hey, if the Blues can, you know, handle him, you know, it's going to take a team effort. It's not one or two guys. Colton Parayko's not going to do it by himself. Nick Leddy, you know, it's going to be just like that last round where they had several people step up.
And there's always a villain. Is Kadri the villain going into this, or is that over?
He has to be, right? He has to
we
be.
Need, I mean, we'll talk about it. Do you think they talk about it?
Probably not, but how would that be if right at the puck drop for game one, they dropped the gloves with Kadri? You know, they did that in the regular season. First, Braden Schenn took his jabs at Kadri, and then it was Justin Falk himself who took that hit last year in the playoffs from Kadri. But I think that's gone. You know, heck, they got two fights against him, and obviously not going to be thinking about that. But he definitely will be the villain. Blues fans certainly haven't forgotten that.
And then Darcy Kuemper, journeyman's not fair. He's better than that. But he's probably not elite either, right? I feel like this series, Colorado's going to score some goals. Whether it's Binnington or Husso, they're going to give up some goals. And the Blues have the ability to match that. So somebody's going to have to get to four or five first. Tell me about Kuemper, and what do you think is a fair analysis?
Yeah, so he kind of bounced around a little bit. He was in Minnesota, then he goes to Arizona. And I think he was seen as a pretty to really good goaltender, but he wasn't on very good teams, especially in Arizona. So now he goes to Colorado, and he's on a good team, and that's going to help him. You know, I do think he's one of the top, let's say, seven, eight goalies in the league. But right now, by the way, you know, we're talking about this series. He took a stick in the eye in the previous series, and he didn't play game four. It looks like he's going to be okay for this series, but you never know what kind of effect that could have on him. A really good goaltender. You know, the biggest thing with Colorado and helping out Darcy Kuemper is what we just talked about, Cal Makar and their ability to skate the puck out of the zone. You know, they don't get hemmed in a lot. The Blues are going to have to do their best to get some zone time and put some pressure on Kuemper. I don't think they did that enough in that last series against Minnesota with Andre Fleury and then Cam Talbot in that last game. Blues going to have to put a lot more pressure on the goaltender. But, you know, Kemper's a good one. Maybe not, you know, a guy that you think of when you think of goalies that are going to lead you to the Stanley Cup, but he's still in that upper tier.
But the reality is this is not David and Goliath. We shouldn't – the Apollo Creed and Rocky, that's not what this is. These are two really good teams. They're probably a little better. But it's not a monumental ask to say you could beat them.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you ask. And I think it breaks down if you had a map of the United States. It's going to break out where people around outside of St. Louis are going to say it is David and Goliath. And the people in St. Louis think that the Blues are better than that. You know, to me it's going to come down to the Blues defense. And I know I touched on that a minute ago. But, you know, I'm just still impressed with the way they use seven defensemen on a nightly basis, but they use 10 in the series. 10 defensemen to get
and guys
that
we've
series.
Never heard of.
Yeah, I mean
guys, Santini, the great Santini showed up, and now he's back in the minors.
Makes his season debut in the playoffs. You got a guy right here on the ice, Martin Kalle Rosén, who's playing with Justin Falk. Never would have pictured that, you know, 3 weeks ago in the regular season.
And he held his own, didn't
and
he?
He did. He played 19 minutes one of those games and played well. You have Scott Perunovic, who a lot of guys didn't think would even come back in the lineup following that wrist surgery this year. They figured he'd start back up next year, and he's playing 4 minutes a night on the power play and doing really well. So to me, I mean, it's a pretty obvious statement, but the way you break down the series is if this defense can handle its own against that outstanding offense that Colorado has, those dynamic players, then the Blues should be okay, and then it's not so much a David Goliath situation.
Does the Athletic make you – do you have to make a prediction on this series? Are you forced to?
Yeah, so I did, but it was anonymous.
Okay, that's, you don't have to reveal it. I'm just wondering, over the years, have you had to make one and then the team or somebody calls you and says, oh, really?
Like, well, let's put it this way. I can give you my prediction and what it was. But, yeah, we turn it in, but then it gets compiled with the other writers, and then it just comes out as an Athletic
like
staff
okay.
prediction. But I did pick Colorado in six. But good news for Blues fans is I also picked Minnesota in six. So it's not.
They should thank you.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, if you're a Blues fan, things will go like they did in game in the first series. But it's not that I disrespect the Blues or don't think they have it, that they can win it. It's just I felt Minnesota was going to be more physical. I felt like they were going to do some things, but they just didn't do them. And the Blues played very well, better than I thought they could. And if, you know, if they do it again in this series, I think they could beat Colorado, and I could be wrong.
You've been at the Athletic now, what, 3 years?
About 4 or 5.
Yeah, you like it? You
love
fun?
It. Yeah, thanks, Marty. Yeah, I really love it. You know, I love my time at the Post-Dispatch, you know, at the Athletic. You know, we're able to take a little bit more time on some of these articles, maybe not publish every day, but if you got something every other day, you put a little more time into it, and it's been a lot of fun. So, a lot of late nights that first series with those 8:50 starts, not 8:30. It's another
8:30 is merely a suggestion.
But yeah, we closed down the laptop about 2 a.m, and it's just nice. It's an awesome feeling knowing that people are getting on their phone or getting on their laptop at 6, 7, 8 a.m. to see what you wrote about the night before.
I know when I first met you, and we got to wrap this up here, but. You covered the Illini, I saw you at Rams Park, and then suddenly you became the Blues guy, and it just feels like it fit. Were you always a hockey guy at heart? I mean, because now I think Blues fans identify you, JR, as part of the Blues media family. Like, it took. I mean, it wasn't just a beat that you had for a couple of years. It really took hold.
Yeah, no, it was weird. I never played hockey growing up. I was a Blues fan growing up. Derek Gould covered the Blues before me, and I got a phone call one day that said, hey, we're going to move him to the Cardinals. Would you be interested in the Blues? And I said, heck yeah, for sure. And so I started covering hockey. You know, didn't know a ton about it other than as a fan watching it, but I will tell you a quick story I'll never forget, Marty, is one day there was a game, and it was between the Blues and the Blackhawks, and it was a back-and-forth game. It was 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3. And having not played hockey growing up, I never heard this term before. Now I look back and laugh because it's so obvious. But I went into the locker room, and I stuck my recorder in Dallas Drake's, little scrum with the media, and he said, yeah, it was like a pond hockey game out there. Well, I only had 30 minutes to run upstairs and type the quotes into the story. I thought he said that it was a pawn, P-A-W-N, like a chess match hockey game. So that's what I type into the Post-Dispatch, and that's in my article. The next day, and you don't know who reads the stories and who doesn't, but the next day I walk into the locker room and Dallas Drake looks at me and he goes, you're an idiot. And so, of course, it should have been pond hockey game. It was back and forth, and that was kind of my christening to hockey and learning along the way. But, I did that for about 15 years at the Post-Dispatch and now a few more at the Athletic, so hopefully I learned a few things along the way.
Hey, you know what? It happens. I remember Jim Thomas at Rams Park, and Joe Vitt was the interim coach, and he said, guys, you want to be here? Let's go. And Jim thought he said, let it snow. And so the next day, it's in the paper, and Joe Vitt, we're doing our daily scrum, and he said, let it snow? Jim, who says let it snow? And Jim's like, I thought it was one of your isms, or like he just misheard him. So from here on out, I will remind you of pawn hockey.
Yeah, pawn hockey.
JR, great to catch up.
You too, Marty. Thanks, buddy.
I didn't bring it up in the interview, but JR is the one last summer who broke the news that Vladimir Tarasenko was looking for a trade, that he wanted out, wasn't happy, was upset with the medical staff. All of these things came out, and it became a talking point for all of us for months now. When Vladdy played well, we talked about it, but it started with an article in The Athletic written by Jeremy Rutherford. And again, long-time Post-Dispatch, and then with The Athletic, he is all about the Blues. I think he's got like a synthetic ice rink in his basement. His kids are obsessed with hockey. He's the right guy to be on the Blues beat. We appreciate JR being on the show. We'll do more hockey as we proceed. Hopefully it's a nice long series, and beyond that, a nice long run for the Blues. It was so much fun in 2019. It'd be nice to replicate that in some fashion. I don't want to get too greedy, but at least make a nice deep run. All of our segments, the Kilcoyne Conversation, are presented by the fine folks at Marie Davila Senior Living, B&G Tuck Pointing, Appliance Discounters, and of course, Triad Bank, located in Frontenac on Clayton Road, triadbanking.com. Their CEO, Jim Regna, went to Rosary, went to UMSL. I say that a lot because I think people need to understand. It's not a guy who flew in from New York or L.A. and took over a bank. He's from here. And that's the sort of service people get when they deal with Triad Bank. Appliance Discounters, I've mentioned this a time or two. If you need a repair on your appliance, great service department. Instead of calling an 800 number and scheduling something automated, call Appliance Discounters and get your repairs done quickly. Great service, great products. That is Appliance Discounters. B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks. It's more than just a slogan. They do a great job making your home look new. Again, I've said this when I lived in the city, had a brick home, brick garage, B&G came in, everything looked brand new all over again. BGTuckPointing.com. Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, right by Queenie Park. So if you're ever out driving around, you've heard me talking about it, you can take a quick peek just by driving by in your car. Clayton and Wideman Road, Marie Davila. com. All these segments appear at scoopswithdannymac.com, the great website run by the Cardinals broadcaster, Dan McLaughlin. You can get us on Spotify and iTunes, a number of different segments coming your way. Last week, what did we do? We did Joe Buck. Talk about his move to Monday Night Football, leaving Fox, having to pull off a trade to get out of Fox. And then Kevin Carter. I hope Rams fans from back in the day check that out, because he's such a thoughtful guy. We probably went 30-plus minutes talking about his time with the Rams, his exit, the fact that he wanted to stay a Ram his entire career. If you missed it, make sure you're going back and check that out. It was great. Kevin Carter, one of the recent guests on the Kilcoin Conversation. Let's go Blues. Talk to you soon.